Larry Weber is an educator, author, and naturalist. How did I not know he'd written a field guide to butterflies? And he joins us, as usual, every Friday right here on KUMD. Hey there, Mr. Weber.
Good morning. I had the most wonderful thing sent to me this week, email. I had pictures of 46 different things photographed at Jay Cook State Park just within the past 10 days or so. And, wow, you talk about butterflies. It started off. Number one was a butterfly. That was a white admiral. Okay? So the 46 pictures really showed a variety. Whoever the photographer was, it was just outstanding. They showed wildflowers that were blooming a while already, perhaps in June and still left over from it. They showed those that are just starting to bloom. They showed natives. They showed non-natives. They showed scenery. They showed a visit to the campground by a blue jay and then another one of a red squirrel. So just a wonderful variety. But the real outstanding, and this is why I give it the top awards, the real outstanding picture was a series of pictures of a solitary wasp on the ground.
Yeah, what was the deal? All right, so I went camping at Jay Cook State Park.
I am very, very impressed. A lot of people don't even bother to take a look at them.
And I said to myself, I'm going to go to Jay Cook, and I'm going to get photographs of the stuff that Larry talks about so that we can talk about it on the air. And I'm sitting there contemplating, you know, life, because it was so hot that it was sort of hard that day to even think of moving. And there's a wasp digging a hole. What's that about?
Okay. In the world of wasps, there are basically two kinds, the way they, their lifestyle. There are the social and there are the solitary. And the social ones we often call hornets. You build the big nest and so forth, and we see those elsewhere. They can be in the ground, but they often are elsewhere. Then the solitary ones will once again often be in the ground, where they dig a hole and they take prey and they pull it down into that hole and they lay an egg on it. It's their way of providing food for the baby. Anyway, the solitary wasp and the social wasp, a basic rule, though there are exceptions to this, a basic rule is that if it folds its wings over its back, it's pulling the wings in close, and therefore they fold the wings over its back, and then it can tunnel in the ground better. And your photo did such a great job showing that. There are many, many kinds of solitary wasps, and I'd have to go to some sources to tell you the exact species. But just the fact that you photographed it on the ground and it shows the wings crossed on the back can tell me just that fast that that's a solitary wasp. And a wasp in general, once again, there's a huge number of wasps, and there's lots of exceptions, but many of the wasps are predators, and this is an example of one that does just that. There are those that dig a hole first, and then they go catch prey and put it in the hole, and then there are those that catch prey, bring it to a spot on the ground, and dig the hole to fit the prey. Now, I didn't see it doing any digging, so I don't know what was going on.
Larry, there is a photograph of the wasp digging. You have to look very closely, but you can see the dirt flying behind its little body.
Excellent. So once again, not only does it show good photography, but I'm very impressed and good observation, because like I say, a lot of people would pass that up and not even bother to take a look, which is what's going on a great deal in nature right now. We are reaching the end of the wonderful month of July, and July 2016 is going to go down on record for a number of things. We are about 2 degrees above normal, though today is not going to feel like it, and yesterday didn't feel like it. But because of the spell of heat we had of 90 degrees a few times, we are going to go down above normal as for temperature. Also above normal is the precipitation, considerably above normal. Right now, about an inch when it finally settles down, it'll be closer probably to about 3/4 of an inch above normal. Some places double that, tremendous amount of rain in many places. Big storms, three big dates that hang out. One is July 5, another July 11. July 11 is when we got the floods, and July 21 when we got the strong winds that knocked the power out for a few places, including KUMD. Anyway, so that's July. Now, we are also having a very quiet thing going on that is starting to make a bigger difference all the time, and that is the days keep getting shorter. We right now are at about 15 and a half hours of daylight, which is down quite a bit from a month ago. Sunrise this morning was somewhere around 5:45, sunset about 8:45. I'm sorry, did I say 15 and a half? I meant 15 hours. And the days will rapidly get shorter as we go through the August, and by a month from now, we'll be down to only 13 and a half hours of daylight. August is a little cooler typically than July, but maybe at first it'll be just as hot. We tend to get cooler a little bit later. And one of the things I love about the month of August, and I call it Awesome August, is that we have a lot of fog. And a lot of fog is just outstanding for seeing spider webs. I was out walking this morning. We had a nice heavy dew, and I was out walking this morning taking a look at these terrific spider webs. I was very, very impressed with what I saw. Other things of note, it's not too early to start seeing movement of birds. Migration has begun with a couple kinds of birds, namely the shorebirds and the swallows. But if you start looking around in your yard, once again, observation, you may pick up the sounds and little chipping noises of the groups of birds as they start to move. I had a chance one day this week where I saw six warblers at one time, what we would call a warbler wave, and they represented three different species. Now, this will continue as we go through August. Yes, there is movement going on. That, in the midst of all that, there is a bird that's still making its nest, and that is the goldfinch. The goldfinches have to wait until the thistledown has reached its maturity, which happened about 2 weeks ago, and now they are making their nest. So they're a late nester. I was asked once this week whether the storm, all the blowdown, had much of an impact on birds. Well, if it had come a month earlier, it may have had a tremendous impact. Coming when it did in July, the bird nests were pretty much all gone, all abandoned, and many of the birds were gone somewhere and taking shelter in a storm like that. There are a few exceptions, one being the goldfinch, another one being some of the nests of the raptors, hawks in particular, that take a long time for the babies to grow up, and a storm like that can hurt them. But overall, I'd say the birds escaped pretty well. In addition to that, we have other things going on. I've been talking all summer about the green frog and the mink frogs calling. They're on their way down right now. I did hear them as recently as yesterday morning, but they're on their way down. And taking its place are the tiny toads and tiny frogs that are showing up, emerged from the ponds. And then the gray tree frogs. I think this is kind of interesting. Every year they go to they go down up from the trees, they go into the ponds, and they reproduce, and they make a lot of noise. They call a great deal. Then they go back from there and go into the woods. And then as we get into later summer, they start calling once again, and I've been hearing those. Butterflies, we're getting a good variety. You mentioned that earlier. I saw the monarch butterfly. Exactly what generation this is of the monarchs is a little bit hard to tell, but in the summertime, the generation that we have around are the ones that do not migrate. However, as we start to get a little bit later in summer, especially in August, some of the new ones that will emerge are migratory. So late July, it's a little hard to tell which is which. But right there in the same area where I saw the monarch, I saw its lookalike, the viceroy. The viceroy is colored a great deal like the monarch. With a little practice, you can tell the difference. One of the differences is that the viceroys tend to be smaller. Other butterfly of note is a black one that's been showing up a lot lately. It's called the common wood nymph. If you have a chance to see it up close, it really is a little more brown than it is black, but nevertheless, it's a very dark butterfly, and boy, I've been seeing a lot of those. Dragonflies, there's still a variety of them out there, but it's starting to wind down now to just basically two kinds. The little red ones, males are red, females are yellow, of meadowhawks, and then the larger darners, and there are several species of those. I mentioned wasps, hornets, bees, flies, all these things are very active in the milkweed and the goldenrods. We get more goldenrods every day that goes by, And yesterday I was out taking a look at them, and as always, they were just filled with activity. Insect calls, this is at the time, only time that we can do this. We can hear both kinds of cicadas we have at calling at the same time. The chipping cicadas usually are earlier in the summer, and the buzzing cicadas are later in the summer. But there is a period of time in late July where they overlap, and I had twice this week while on bike rides. I heard both of them. Crickets are calling. Yesterday I heard the first katydid calling, which is also a sign of things moving on. Grasshoppers and locusts are active out there, so tremendous amount going on in the world of insects. And as we go through August, that would just continue. I mentioned goldenrods, but there's also the asters coming in bloom now. And every year I look for the asters, the goldenrods, and the sunflowers. They take up that, the way I see, they take up the flowering of late summer. And they're starting, all of them starting to go now. But we got a ways to go. We got about 10 to 12 of each of those kinds, and I've only seen about half. So we got a ways to go. Some of the flowers of July are waning right now. One of the ones I find interesting is the fireweed. Fireweeds have a purple blossom that stands up on a tall stalk. Well, as they go through their season, those blossoms just climb right up to the stalk. Well, they're reaching the top now, which is means they're on their, they're passing. They're going to be gone pretty soon. Milkweed, however, which also came in bloom at about the same time, is still there. The other thing of note is daylilies, which are so dominant in July, are also on the way down right now. Strawberries are virtually gone, but nope, blueberries and raspberries and juneberries are still out there. Pin cherries, I even saw ripe choke cherry this week. So we got plenty going on there in the world of berries as well. And then there's a lot of mushrooms. Every day I take a walk, I find new mushrooms. And, you know, that's another one of the awesome August things that we get to look forward to, just a huge number of mushrooms. And I think I've been seeing new kinds every day. And at least I have to pass this on. It's not too early to start to see leaf color showing up. It's not going to show up very much yet on the trees and shrubs, though I did see lots of gooseberries this week that had yellow leaves. For the most part, it's going to be some of the smaller plants. There's a little plant called dogbane, which is always number one. It has a yellow, leaves turning yellow already. So it's not too early to see that. So, yeah, Lisa, we are moving on, and you're right, it's going to be an outstanding weekend.
Well, it certainly is, and I'm just going to continue to lobby the radio station to move my office and broadcast studio to Jay Cook so that we can be right there in the middle of the wilderness and watch all of these things day by day for ourselves.
I think that is a wonderful idea, and many of us would go along with it. Yes.
All right.
You could even have a sister station or a brother station called W.J. Cook, so that would be wonderful.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Larry, thanks a million.
Not W.J. Cook, K.J. Cook.
Okay. K.J. Cook. I like it. I like it. Thanks so much, Larry. We'll talk to you again next week.
Bye.
Larry Weber, an author, educator, and naturalist, he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac here on KUMD.